episode 2 of TSB Goes to the Movies. I am Alex at TSB Pod. He is Ski at TSB Ski. He is King at Jeromney. Welcome to the podcast. It is TSB Goes to the Movies. If you would like to suggest a movie we should watch, hit us up on Twitter at one of the handles I previously mentioned. That is how we are getting our ideas. Or you can text King, because apparently people just can text King who listen to this. That works too. This week is different than last week. I will say the movie we had suggested to us, I guess, King, you have the person who suggested a movie to us, but I don't think it's the movie we actually watched, right?
Yes. So Rob on Twitter at Rob Dow, R-O-B. D-O-W suggested that we watch Roadhouse.
That is great, not movie. The movie we watched.
Yeah. We watched Bloodsport. My bad, Rob. If you're listening to this, I meant it in good. I meant it to be your movie, but it
So little inside baseball for us. I texted both of you saying, you know, we should probably pick a movie for this week. Like, what are our suggestions? And then King was like, you know, the one of the only ones I can remember was Bloodsport, I think. And we're like, oh, okay, Bloodsport, done. Because I'm not a Van Damme guy. Like, I know Ski, you are a Van Damme connoisseur. I'd say probably a lot of people who listen to the sports podcast that we do, like, they also listen to. They also have watched a lot of Van Damme movies. King, are you a big Van Damme guy?
He's
all
right.
Have you
seen
all of
them? He's no Mario Van Peebles.
Who is?
MVP, man.
But, you know, he makes do.
So honestly, I look at Van Damme and I'm like,
Van don't.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I love action movies. Don't get me wrong. I love dumb action movies. Don't get me wrong. But I've never been interested in Van Damme. And so
I'm more just amazed that you said you've never seen this, because it has been on TV, you know, an edited version on TV probably a million times since it came out.
I'm sure. I'm sure it has. But again, I see Van Damme, I'm like, I don't. But yeah. I'm good.
But see, this is an edited movie. You can't, like we've said, Armageddon, I'll watch it on TBS or Paramount every time.
Yeah.
You can't watch Bloodsport on TNT. It doesn't translate.
Surprisingly, there's not too much is taken out.
Really?
You know, yes, it's not, you know, it's not the prototypical 80s movie. You know, this is a late 80s movie, not a mid to early. So there's no titties in it. There's not a ton of, like, gore. I mean, talking about Roadhouse, there's no ripping out someone's throat.
That's true.
So there's no
Roadhouse.
You know, kind of going back and looking through things, there's no real, like, you know, racial slurs.
I mean,
one of the the little Asian kid calls him a round eye, but that's about it.
We'll go into the very obvious racism that does exist in this movie.
Not as much as you think for Lady. Not as much. So I think this was an easier movie that they could edit and not lose too much.
Hey, you know what's not in this movie a lot? Blood. I mean, there's a little bit of blood. If the movie is called Bloodsport, I expected more violence. Go ahead.
Wasn't the first fight where they really, the guy falls down, there's blood everywhere, they're like, this is a blood sport. It was like the guy who yells nerds in Revenge of the Nerds. Yeah. It's like,
1000% was.
The blood sport.
Yes.
I get it. They did sports and there's blood now.
The actor you're thinking of is Donald Gibb, played Ogre in Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes.
He played Jackson.
Ray Jackson.
Yep. Who was we should say the main character's name is Dukes.
Frank Dukes.
D-U-X.
Yes.
Yep. Who is, and you find this out at the end of the movie. based on a real person.
Hey, we will get into that at the very end of this. Okay. Once it's over. There's a lot.
So should we just go through the movie?
Let's start from the beginning. Yes.
Okay. So let's start from the beginning. So classic training sequence happens at the beginning of the movie. You then come across a young version of Van Damme's character who, along with two of his friends, break in to a martial arts master's house and sees a sword sitting on, I don't know what.
Mantle.
There's literally nothing else in that room. Yeah, there's nothing else in that living room. He goes in there. So they all go in there. They're like, hey, let's steal some stuff. Blah, blah, blah. You know, some young toughs. They're going to go steal some stuff from some dude's house.
Young toughs?
Okay. Well, if you're watching a fucking cornball movie like
this. Are you a jet
or
a shark? My goodness.
Yeah, jets and sharks. No, for real. That's what they fucking are. And so he goes in, they try to steal this sword, and then they hear some movement and the two kids bail. And for whatever reason, Van Damme was being nice.
He was trying to put it away. I think he was enamored by it a little bit.
It looked like he was just staring at it, like trying to get caught basically. So the kid who plays him, and then the kid who plays, his eventual, I don't know, brother. I don't know what their relationship is, but the son of the guy whose sword he tries to steal, that actor, like he might be the worst actor I've ever seen in a movie. Like I know it's like a kid, like whatever, but the way he delivered his lines is my jaw dropped every time. Like the first time he talked, I'm like, there are so many kids in Hollywood who really wanted to be in movies during this era, and they chose this one. He's so terrible.
I think they were really trying to make it believable that he would grow up into Van Damme.
Right.
And his poor acting skills.
His Belgian accent. Yeah.
Yes. But I want to bring up that scene you're talking about there when he goes through the window. Did you guys notice that, you know, it's supposed to be taking place in San Francisco. He's rocking a San Francisco Giants hat.
Okay, yeah.
But he's
football jersey, like New York Giants.
So I think someone fucked up on the set for the costume and was like, it's the Giants, right? It's the same thing. No, that's the New York Giants football jersey you got the kid wearing instead of a
I wonder if that's like Van Damme's decision. Where he's like, oh, yes, he should be all of the Giants because he grows into me and I am a giant and he should just be the Giants. It doesn't matter what city they're from.
See, you're not a Van Damme. This is pretty early Van Damme where he didn't have much pull yet.
Right.
Later in his, you know, string of 80s, early 90s movies, he does. I assume he does. He does have some things that I'm sure he has in his contract, which we'll talk about later, I'm sure. So.
Yeah. So following up that scene, he gets caught. So the martial arts master, dad of the kid, he catches him. And instead of like punishing him, like the kid, his son really wants to like beat him up or whatever and like punish him or whatever. But he's like, no, I will keep him around. I'll make use of him. And so he goes to Van Damme's parents. And from what I understand, because he literally says it later, he enlists Van Damme as a kid to be the punching bag of his son for martial arts training. Like literally, he's not teaching him martial arts. He's literally there to get beat up on a regular basis by his son. And his parents, when they're having this conversation, are like, oh yeah, this sounds like a really good idea. Like, okay. It's like, hang on a minute. In what universe does a parent just say, yeah, all right. Like our son, like tried to rob you, I guess. You can have your son beat him up uncontested for the next 10 or 15 years. That sounds fine. Yeah. All right. Wait,
you did forget that, his Shidoshi, like his master Tanaka did swing the sword right off his face and cut the bill of his hat off.
He did. He cut the giant's bill off. Yep. That should also be a red flag for somebody. By the way, if you're going to put your child in his care for the next 10, again, like the rest of his childhood, he is.
And I always love that scene there. Cause you know, the guy's like, oh, you didn't flinch. the kid clearly flinches. You see the kid flinch. The kid was scared out of his mind.
There's another
scene. I always love that. It's like,
there's another scene with the, so the master's son, he is younger than Van Damme's character. There's a scene.
Shingo, I believe his name is.
Okay, fair enough. There's a scene later on where Shingo is getting like bullied by some kids at school.
My other favorite scene.
And Van Damme's character, he beats the other kids away. And then the kid, gets up and like they talk to each other. And the kid, when delivering his lines to Van Damme's character, is literally not looking at him. He's looking like a foot to the left. You could see it. You know, he's literally reading his line to the kid Van Damme's character. And I'm just like, that was such a tone setter for the movie.
So I love that. So I was going to talk about that next scene as well. He helps him up. There is zero things said at all, except for the young Shingo just says, "One day I'm going to win the Kumite and make my papa proud." Just unsolicited. Doesn't say anything. No. I feel like that kid had a bunch of lines to set that up. Might have been so bad that they're like, this is the only thing that's usable. And this is all we really need.
Read this. We're good.
And not to lose the plot here, but see, back in 1988 when they shot Bloodsport, if a line wasn't good, it hit the cutting room floor. I saw today that the new fucking Batman movie is like 3 hours and 55 minutes. Not all those lines are good. Cut that shit and make that hit the floor. He's going to be easy on a guy who tells riddles and busts someone who's jaywalking. We all know how this movie ends. Sorry, Batman. Sorry, back to Kumite.
The other thing about that.
If they cut those scenes from this movie, the movie would be like 20 minutes.
Damn.
Just saying. Damn.
Fair enough.
How about this? Those two young, like, middle school toughs, like, beat the shit out of Shingo and needed Van Damme to save him. How is he not able just to murder these two kids?
All he does is train martial arts. That's all he does.
He comes in and lands like a body blow kick to Van Damme's character and drops him. And that these two guys are just able to beat the shit out of him. I mean, come on.
And by the way, so we cut, like, then the movie like flashes forward. So then we're into the future. Do we ever find out how he dies?
In the Kumite, he got killed.
So he got killed in the Kumite. Okay, I missed that part. Okay.
Yes.
So he apparently went to the Kumite as a teenager.
I see that they are not very clear on
not
the
very
timeline
clear.
At point. No.
And then dies, and so Van Damme is now grown up. Is actually Van Damme is now essentially becomes the master's son. Now we never see his family after that first scene where they essentially give him to the guy. We never see them after that. And
that's
so now
his new
he
family.
Just,
that's what Van Damme says.
So now all he does is like train and live with that guy as his like pupil.
Well, he wasn't. Van Damme had to go to him to convince him to train him to get revenge for Shingo in the Kumite. Okay. That's how he begins. Cause you don't really know how much training he has before then. Cause then they cut to the big training montage.
Oh, I was going to say, do you remember the scene in the movie where Van Damme suddenly becomes a really good fighter, like suddenly becomes elite? What does he do that makes him suddenly an elite fighter, going from getting his ass handed to him every day in training to suddenly being the best fighter in the world? Do you remember what he does? It's during the training montage.
Was it the blindfold training?
It's the fucking splits.
Yes, the splits. Well, all right. I love how the splits come full circle. Like, why is he doing splits? And at the end, like, oh my God, that's why he did the splits.
The splits are Van Damme's superpower, period. Yeah.
So this is what I was bringing up earlier, where he had it in his contract that he needs a certain amount of scenes of him doing the splits, usually in his underwear, definitely shirtless.
Oh yeah, usually
he's doing the splits on something.
Yeah.
You know, later he's doing it on the chair. He's hung from the ropes. The pulleys.
He's at like the temple overlooking the city, randomly doing the splits. I love
does
it.
That, it. And he would does do, that in a majority of his movies.
He'd be doing the splits. He'd be doing like the arm motions and like the yin yang shapes and stuff. It's like,
that is a go-to Van Damme thing for his movies.
Is he
that, if we watch more.
And that's a tough scene to recreate now.
Yeah.
Because back then Van Damme was wearing, you know, the clothes in, you know, the time appropriate clothes. You can let your balls hung a little bit. You can see the balls a little bit. If you do that now, we're all wearing like compression, you know, joggers. You could have a 14-inch hog, but in that movie now, you couldn't see it.
Oh, could you imagine? Like nowadays, Van Damme making that movie, he would 1,000% get a prosthetic and like a slap it to his leg.
Like, have it running down past his knee.
Wear the tights. Oh my God, forget about it.
A couple of veins in there just because.
Is Van Damme known more for the splits or for the tight low cut shirts with the really high waisted khaki pants combo? Because every time I've seen him, it's one of the two.
It's the splits, because that look is in numerous movies of the 80s, not just him as well.
Okay. Is he not more known for dancing like in Kickboxer?
Ooh, yeah.
Well,
right.
The Van Damme dance is an elite thing, but
yeah. It is an elite dance.
It is an elite dance.
It sure is.
I hope we watch Kickboxer one day, because that is a true 80s Van Damme movie. This one's the PG version Van Damme 80s movie. By the way, for you, Braga, since you haven't seen any of them.
Was Kickboxer after Bloodsport?
I believe so.
Wasn't that one of his first, though, Kickboxer?
I'm trying to remember the timeline of Van Damme. It's tough because there's just so many great movies in there.
Wow, they're a year apart. Bloodsport was 88, Kickboxer was 89. So 89, Van Damme learned from his PG ways in Bloodsport and went all the way up in 89.
People really want to see him dance, man. He figured
you should
know out.
There's other, because I'll bring it up again. The Quest came out in 89, the year after too, which is Frank Dukes actually wrote this movie, The Quest, that Van Damme's in next. And it's Bloodsport with trying to actually have like a weird plot to it, like an explorer plot. But I don't need to talk about that yet.
My favorite thing about the little scene at the end where they said it's based on his story is the random stats that they gave for him. The fastest punch. It's like, what? Fastest punch? What do you mean?
Should we get into this right now? Just in the middle of it?
Or should we say whatever. Yeah.
All right. So here's what you need to know also, which, you know, back in 88, you didn't know, is that Frank Duke, the person, is a huge liar.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen him?
So
I Googled him after this movie.
Did you?
Have you seen him?
Yes. I know all about Frank Dukes after this.
Please.
So there's no such, he says he fought in an underground kumite like this. It was a real thing.
Yeah.
Yes. He had things where he knocked out 59 people in a tournament where you're fighting 59 times in a tournament.
This guy did not fight 59 times. That's him.
I implore you to Google him right now.
Yeah.
DUS,
He claims he had a record of like 36-0 as a fighter. Never lost. Undefeated champ, Frank Dukes.
Undefeated. Never lost.
He was also a kind of a covert black ops person in the Southeast Asia when he was in the military, and won a Medal of Honor.
None of those things happened. Yeah.
Have you seen the 2010 movie, Put Up Your Dukes?
I have not, no.
It's a real thing. Put up your dukes.
Written, directed, and produced by Frank Dukes, I'm sure. If it's pro Dukes, it is.
You mentioned the military part of this, like, mm-hmm. So the same thing is with Van Damme's character in this. He is so this is, it kind of transitions to him being him being older, him being in the military, and him skipping out of the military because he needs to fight in this fight. Did they ever set, which by the way, Van Damme, I mean, he couldn't even fake an American accent. Like he could, like on his best day, he would never sound American, period. He's in the U.S. government as like a general or something. Did they ever say like,
what, I don't know. I don't know what
he's, range he's in the U.S. military. Like yes. That is that much is understood. He's in the U.S. military somehow. And I will never understand that angle of this movie.
The fact that he's in the U.S. military.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, and, obviously and it's based on Dukes. And so if he's saying this story, like, yeah, I was in the military, I was black ops, I was blah, blah, blah. So we're going to make Van Damme's character.
Funny thing is, Frank Dukes, the real Frank Dukes is Canadian.
He is.
He's Canadian. Yeah. No, you don't you don't need to know. That's
okay.
Very.
I'm overthinking.
It was purely Frank Dukes telling the writer that, hey man, I was in the military, so let's go with that.
And it being that era where it doesn't matter. Like whatever, didn't just put matter. It in the movie. It did not.
All it did was bring in Forrest Whitaker and that other guy to chase after him. That's it.
Yeah, to quote unquote chase after him in like the chase scene where they're running after him was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Like unintentionally funny things I've ever seen in
how they run. How they run.
So they're one, they're running, and there was the scene where they're running through like the alleyway and Van Damme stops and fakes like he's tired, and then he runs off, and they stop in the exact same spot and act like they're tired, and then run. It's like, oh boy.
Hey, okay, six feet apart. Stop the spreads. Yeah, that is stop on the marker. You know,
social distancing. So he skips out on the military to go fight in this. He gets there, and then meets Jackson. And they have the scene where Jackson's playing the arcade game, and Van Damme comes up and is like, aren't you a little old to be playing video games? Or no, he's like, aren't you a little old for what was the full contact is what they call it. Aren't you a little young for full contact? Aren't you a little old for video games? It's like, oh shit. And, well, by the way, contact thing, what's that about?
So it's for like actual like tournaments. Like, have you ever seen Best of the Best? Mm-mm. Another like late 80s. It's kickboxing. We have to do that. That's such a good movie. But so the actual tournaments, they have like headgear and stuff. You know, it's not, you're not trying to drop blood.
So no protection. Like Olympic boxing or something.
Yeah, exactly. Right, okay. Yeah, exactly. Olympic boxing to professional boxing is what they equated to. But you did leave out the first time Dukes meets Ray on that little like bus, and he like is drinking a beer. And hitting on some chick and kicks his leg. That is the first time they meet each other.
He drank a beer on the bus. He drank a beer in his hospital bed. He drank a beer at the fighting tournament. There's nowhere that man did not drink a beer.
For people that actually like good acting, one of the pure saving graces of this movie was Ray Jackson.
I'm really curious where you're going with this. Yeah,
Ray Jackson is such, he was actually so good.
That's fair. The part he was playing, he was very
good. Fighting was off. His actual fighting abilities are awful, but him as Ray Jackson is unmatched.
The fighting in this movie, and again, like I preface this by saying so I might be spoiled because a lot of the newer like martial arts action movies, they're like the way they separate themselves is with their incredible action and their incredible choreography and stuff like that. So like movies like The Raid and stuff like that, like you cannot compare those two movies. Like you can't compare Bloodsport and you can't compare that because they are just another level in terms of the action. The action in this movie, like the fights are embarrassingly bad. Like
The funny thing is, I think Frank Dukes, the real person, was the fight choreographer.
Makes
the movie,
ton of sense.
Blame Canada makes a ton
of sense. A lot of Gilligan's Island in the fight scenes, like where a guy gets hit once and he's concussed, knocked out, like done. The fight's over. he's essentially dead to the world. Like,
hey, Buda Baker.
Happened a lot. No, and by the way, you get punched anywhere. So a guy would get kicked in the chest and he'd be concussed. So the fight, when the fight's over, the guy is concussed. That's how you know the fight's over.
So you do need to know, apparently in the late 80s, one of the biggest moves and strongest move you do is the palm heel strike to someone's head.
There you go.
That was used quite frequently, especially by Chong Li. That's his definite go-to move.
Yeah, okay, so did Chong Li, he kill like two people in the movie? Like
at least one.
At least
he broke one guy's neck.
Okay, so that person did die, right?
The first one, he like curb stomped the guy's back of his head into the mat.
Yeah,
you don't know if that guy dies or not, but he could have.
But the second one is definitely dead, right?
Yeah. Oh, he.
Okay. Neck all right. Okay. I just wasn't sure.
You know, that scene, I'm glad you mentioned that. He broke his neck, but he never actually touched his head. Did you notice that? Like, he did the motion so fast.
You don't have to.
Oh, okay. Okay. Nope.
Yeah. I mean, jeez, okay. Man.
This is my fault. Yeah. Okay.
That is your fault.
You ever stepped into a dojo?
Motion. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, God.
Maybe it's like the HD upgrade they're doing now or something.
Fast, you know? Where, like, no mercy.
You see things that you couldn't see before or something like that, where he clearly wasn't even close.
You're
to
just embarrassing yourself, man.
Okay. Okay. You're right.
The other.
So that guy played by, was it Bolo Young?
Bolo Young.
Yes. Who famous for Enter the Dragon.
Yes, he did steroids back then, right?
Oh boy.
I would hope so.
Yeah, man.
I mean, that chest is.
His rack is phenomenal.
Incredible.
Phenomenal.
I'd eat grapes off it. Don't get me wrong, but it can't be real. It just can't.
I feel like he is the first mainstream person to like pop your pec muscles.
Yeah.
In a movie.
He might be. He might be actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good point. I never thought of that part of it.
Here's another odd thing. Because I tried to find weird things. Because I've seen this movie, so many times. I was trying to find weird things that were different. And they decided to portray Bolo Young's character as South Korean for some reason. He is very Chinese and has been in many Chinese movies. I don't know why they chose. Maybe they just had all we got is a South Korean attire for these people.
I'm glad you mentioned that because
I hate to interject because we're talking about pecs popping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Erica has something to say about Jean-Claude's booty right here.
Oh, yeah.
They do show an ass shot of JCVD.
They sure do. That had to be in the contract.
Oh, definitely.
All right, let's hear it.
Can't what?
She's scared.
What'd
she say?
She said it was delicious. That wasn't a payoff.
Oh, yeah. No. No, without question. No, the gratuitous ass shot was pretty phenomenal. It's funny because you mentioned the fact that there's like not a lot that they could cut from this movie. Like there's no nudity of any kind other than Van Damme's ass.
And I don't think they even cut that because it's like a three-quarter ass shot too. He's like pulling up his drawers.
Oh yeah, no. No, it's not gratuitous at all. It's totally like classy and very
totally shower worthy.
Shower worthy.
I mean, you can't fuck with late 80s JCVD, man. That dude was unparalleled.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing for sure.
But I thought we'd get a better payoff there because she was all about it.
When you guys watched it the other day?
No, I didn't even have to watch it. I was watching in another room and she was like, oh, yeah? Are you at that booty scene?
Yeah, call me in and let me know.
Yeah, and now she's here. It's okay.
Got that VHS tape just like worn down, rewinding that scene there.
Yes.
So from that era, who had a better rack? Bolo Young or Pamela Anderson?
Ooh, man. That's close. They were probably the same firmness, to be honest.
That's a good point. Be curious to watch a pop off.
She can't pop off like he can.
She can't pop off like Bolo.
No one can.
Bolo can.
No one can pop off like Bolo.
So I'm glad you mentioned. I'm glad you mentioned the racism in the movie because the character in the, I don't know if this is a hotel where the reporter chick shows up and she's like just sitting there wanting to talk to people. And
I believe his name is Hussein.
Hussein.
I believe his name is Hussein.
Wore a turban. Very yes. much an Asian person. Like, very much so. Like, am I wrong?
No, you're wrong.
Okay.
It's like Al Israel in Scarface.
They gave him a gold tooth. They dubbed over him with a super duper racist Middle Eastern voice. that was not ideal. So she denies him. He tries like hitting on her, I guess you'd call it. She denies him. He was going to, in the middle of this hotel, open hand slap her
the
in
shit
the face
out of her.
Before Van Damme stopped him. That era of movies, dude. Okay, so that was racist.
And again, I'll bring up, this is toned down.
Yeah.
Have you watched Kickboxer?
Right.
A lot worse.
So that was racist. The most racist part of the movie was the black dude fighter.
Yes. Yes.
He was fighting like a monkey.
Yes.
That's just monkey style, I guess.
I don't know. That's it.
Somebody signed, like, read the script, thought it was a good idea. Somebody, you know, hired a director, hired an actor. They did casting for that character, hired that dude to play that part, directed him to do the action like he did. They choreographed it in that way. Like, think of all the checks and balances along the way that got us that character. It's one of the most racist characters I've ever seen in pop culture.
I feel like they were like, all right, this is supposed to be like a worldwide competition, right? We're getting everyone from the world to see who's the strongest. There's got to be someone from Africa. What fighting style do we give them?
Someone from Africa.
You got the big sumo guy to be, you know, like a sumo guy. All right, we'll do that. We'll get the kind of Spanish guy. We'll name him Paco. All right, we're good there.
Oh my God.
What are we going to do for the black guy?
Forgot about Paco.
My favorite character, by the way, is Paco. But
you can't say that. It's 2022. Walk that
back. I love Paco. But
it's Paco.
Okay.
But I feel like they had to come up with a fighting style for him, and they're like, hey, a lot of like those ancient Chinese fighting styles are based off animals, right? Let's go with that.
Oh my God. Yeah, like the crane technique, right? Let's go monkey technique, exactly. Right? He jumps around like a monkey, right? No.
Yeah.
All right, so let's begin to wrap this up. So movie goes on.
We're not even close to wrapping this up. You missed the whole start of it too.
Okay. I mean, we could talk about this all night. That's kind of what I'm saying is we got to move in the direction. So movie goes on. He is in the tournament and also being chased by Forrest Whitaker and the other cop.
Whose eye is not quite lazy at that
not
point.
Not quite all the way yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lay eye.
You have the female reporter trying to get him to get in there. So
she gave up pretty quick on the whole like reporting thing once she met him.
Typical woman.
Well, when Van Damme lays that fucking pipe on you, I guess you kind of forget your profession for a bit.
You don't need to do it.
Lose that journalistic integrity.
Yeah.
Yeah. That bubble butt's hitting you.
She asked him to get her in there. She asked him to get her into the tournament, like sneak her in so she could report on it. It's my dream to report on this. And then like, she's like, okay, I don't actually need your help. And her way to get in was to dress exactly the way she dressed before and just go in. She found out where it was and just walked in.
No, she was on the arm of the high roller Asian guy that loved Frank, was always betting on him. That's how she got it.
Okay.
The first time, at least. She got in with Forrest Whitaker the second time.
Yeah, I was going to say for that scene, and then the rest of the movie, she was never with that person again. Yeah. She was, yeah.
And by the way, Leia Ayers was like the perfect, like kind of hot blonde 80s chick for the movie. Yeah.
Totally agree.
Great cast.
Totally agree.
And a great cast. And the other character I love is Victor, the guy that like shows around Frank and Ray.
Uh huh.
The guy they're like, we're trying to get an Asian guy that can speak English and try to do a bunch of like American slogans for you.
you look like a Jackson was one of his lines. Yeah. Oh, you look like a Jackson.
No.
Or gotcha. Like, put up your dukes. I get it.
Yeah.
He's good.
Exactly.
He was good. I agree. He might be like the high point of the movie, if we're being honest.
Huh. Van Damme's butt.
All right, that's fair.
And so, and Ray Jackson's just like double axe handle finishing move.
So sum up the end of the movie for everybody.
I'm gonna give it out of 5.
No, we're not rating it yet. Okay. Sum up what happens in the end of the movie, Ski.
Van Damme gets to the finals to fight, you know, Bolo Young, Chong Li. He's beating the shit out of him, and Chong Li gets some sort of like little pill thing and powder and blinds him.
It's like a zinc lozenge he crumbled up and just threw in his face.
So Van Damme can't see. But thank God, early in during his training with Hishidoshi Tanaka, he did a lot of blindfolded training, so he knew how to fight when his eyes were compromised.
By the way, he could see. They showed us that he could see. He just couldn't see perfectly.
It was a little blurry.
But he was acting like he was totally blind.
Yeah. So he proceeds to, you know, beat him and make him say mate, or, you know, give up.
Yep.
At the end.
And then he wins. Yep. And by the way, then he wins and then goes and visits Jackson in the hospital because Jackson had been near death thanks to Bolo Young's character. So he went and visited him in the hospital where he's drinking a beer. Nerds. They say they love each other. It was really a touching moment.
Anytime, anywhere, I'm there for you, man. I've known you for 3 days. I got your back.
It's like what Fresno State football used to say. Anytime, anywhere, any place.
Yep. Yep.
Got your back.
Same thing with the woman. She's known Van Damme for a day and a half and they banged and, you know, they're lifelong, you know, in love.
I get it.
I'm giving Bloodsport out of 5.
Let's rate it.
4 broken neck vertebrae out of 5.
4 out of 5?
4 out of 5. It's a timepiece.
Right. Yep. I'm giving this movie 2 Van Damme ass cheeks out of 5.
Well, that's like 10 because he's got cheeks.
it's a full 2.
When Van Damme walks, this is what you hear.
There you go. You have cakes.
All right. And I love this movie, but I am giving it 4 out of 5 Dim Mocks, which is the death touch move from earlier.
God, I never want to see this movie again.
Hey, guess what, Braga? There's 3 more of them